What's that?
Blog Talk Radio.
No, it was here. I found it.
Okay, good. You got a shitload of mail for you, though. I try to keep it all, but it's all bullshit. Solicitations, credit card ads. I tried to pick up a few credit cards in your name, but it didn't work.
Yeah. You hear what I start to show up with, right?
What?
Just listen to them headphones, right?
That is good. I like it.
She likes
it. Yeah.
Where's your plus? Oh, it's a Lunatic Fringe. Red Rider.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is October 30th, 2012, not 11, how am I backtracking here, 2012, and it is this week's edition of Whiskey Bent Barbecue in the Pit. What I'd like to know is, you know, we're here close, you know, we've got some, you know, we got Halloween tomorrow night. I want to know from all you guys out there in chat or listening, who's going as Myron Mixon this year? I mean, who went and got him a beard, got him a black shirt, going as Myron Mixon? I think that would be the Halloween costume of any party, especially have some barbecue folks there, dressing up and going as Myron. I know myself have no barbecue costume, or no Halloween costume, because got to travel real early on Thursday morning for some work stuff. So Halloween, yes, you know. Go out, hand some candy out to the kids. But I'm going to be turning in early. Going to be leaving the bowl of candy outside and letting them just take it as they will. So, Moody Q, you're going as me. That's awesome. That's great. Moody Q, you definitely awesome. Good comment there in chat, brother. Appreciate it. So, anyway, want to thank you guys for joining us tonight. October 30th, to all of our friends in the Northeast, I know we've got a lot of good barbecue buddies up there. Hope everybody's doing all right. You know, I saw some of the pictures that Steve Zara, Sledneck, was posting last night, and, you know, just kind of sucks. You know, I know those, you know, it's got to be tough. I mean, being people that you know, live down here in Florida, I mean, we know what hurricanes are all about and this and that, but there's something about, you know, the way that storm came in, the time it came in, you know, all those things as far as meeting with the cold front and blah, blah, blah. It's just it's probably the most devastating. Could you guys hear me? Hello, hello? I think I have myself on mute. But never mind. All right, anyway, whatever. I don't think I have myself on mute because you guys could hear me. But, actually, under host, it was showing I was on mute. Whatever. All right, anyway. So, yeah, we just want to wish everybody in the Northeast best of luck. Actually, John Coastman, this is the first time I've ever seen you in chat. I don't know if you've listened to the show before, But thank you. Appreciate you coming in. We got Jim Elser, Moody Q, Rob Watson, usual suspects. Really good to see them. And we've got a bunch of guest number. So anyway, let's get into tonight's show. First off, I want to thank last week's guest. Best as far as viewer ratings, or listener ratings, best show ever. We were about 100 more live listens than usual. And, you know, I'll go ahead and share with you guys. We do somewhere between, on a bad night, 100. On a good night, a really good night, we do about 200 live listens. And last week, we did right under 300. And you know what? To think about the little cult following that we have, for 200-300 people to say, hey, I'm going to take 2 hours out of my time and listen live to this show, that's pretty cool. The archive numbers are obviously much bigger. The people that listen to it on podcast or at their leisure at their desk or whatever, a much larger number. But for people to sit down, I mean, I appreciate it, guys. For people to sit down and say, hey, I want to listen to Chad and, you know, whoever he's brought on this week, you know, for that to be 100, 200, or 300 people, you know, that means a lot to me. And I'm glad you guys enjoy it. I know I enjoy it. And last week was out of the park. Jeff Campbell from Wicked Q, I know a lot of people wanted to hear from him. Jeff does a really good job, has quite a reputation down here in the Southeast and KCBS of cooking well and you know, winning some contests. Second one, I got to say, I was just as happy to have on, and that's Scotty Johnson. You know, Scotty's one of those guys. I mean, he's been in it for a while. He, good dude. And his cause, man, I mean, you know, I'm going to tell myself a little bit. I got to email this week. And I don't know if you guys that know or not, Greg Rempe over there at the Barbecue Central Radio show. Greg does a great job. Greg's one of the inspirations of why, when Daryl Mass gave me this opportunity, I did it. You know, me and Greg talked beforehand. Greg's always been great about giving me, you know, advice. You know, he'll say, hey, I'm trying something new. Will you listen? Tell me what you think. Just real cool, man. And so me and Greg have you know, we've been friends way before even I started this show. I can tell you right now, I've listened to every one of Greg Rempe's shows ever produced. And just because I enjoy it. I enjoy Greg as a host. I enjoy listening to the guest. You know, all those things. So with that being said, to get an email from Greg this week that said, hey, Chadley. I mean, that's what he calls me, Chadley. It's our pet name, I guess. Whatever. But hey, Chadley, love the interview with Scotty. You did a great job. You asked just enough but gave him enough latitude to tell the story as he saw it. You know, and how he felt it, I guess. And dude, that was just super cool to think about what Scotty's been through, what his daughters have been through, but still to take his wife's memory and go out there and, you know, whether it be barbecue or what it is, I mean, that's something he's working towards and fighting towards every week, raising more money, trying to find a cure. There was no more passion in anybody's voice. Man, we've had some great guests on, and we've had some great stories, but I would say that's the one as a host that probably tugged at my heartstrings the most. And you know, for anybody out there that it didn't, you're probably lying. It was just really good to hear Scotty and talk to him about that. And then, you know, we lightened it up. We talked a lot about barbecue, talked about some Florida Gators, which let us down this weekend, talked a lot about whiskey. But Scotty's just a great guy. One of those guys that I hope for some of the younger teams, you may look at it and go, oh, Cancer Sucks Chicago. You know, they've won the Jack. They've won all these contests, you know, blah, blah, blah. I hope what you learned at least from the show is Scotty's a cool guy. He's a very approachable person. If you're to go cook a contest and you're to be around him, I would be disappointed if you didn't walk over and say, hey, Scotty, introduce yourself. And at least you've got the opening line. Hey, I heard you on Whiskey Man Barbecue in the Pit. And, you know, that's most of the time all people are looking for when, you know, new people come out to contest is they just want that opening line. They just want to be able to talk to somebody. And, you know, they just don't want to come up and go, hey, I'm Tommy. Nice to meet you. I'm cooking this weekend. it's kind of, you know, it's kind of just something that, you know, they just want that opening line. So we try to bring as many people on here as possible that you can at least have that opening line with, hey, I heard you on Whiskey Bin Barbecue in the Pit. You know, nice to meet you. And then, you know, obviously it's going to be a good conversation. So anyway, thanks to Jeff and Scotty for last week. Great show. Tonight, what do we got lined up? We've got Rob Marion, been in the pit numerous times, two worthless nuts. Not only a great team name, but only the second best team name on the show tonight. Because we're going to talk about Rob came across some bad luck going to the Jack. And our buddy Mick Chelser from Rub One Out Barbecue. And that is R-U-B space W-O-N space O-U-T. Rub One Out. That, to me, guys, is the best barbecue name, team name on the market. Rub One Out. You know, people say it, and they're like, that's pretty damn funny. But then when you see the spelling, it just says, you know, hey, maybe Mick's not that good a cook. Maybe just the Rub One Out. I'm just kidding with you, Mick. But we're going to have him on, kind of do something we haven't done before. We're going to have Rob come in, talk to Rob about, you know, getting to the Jack. Want to talk to him about the new paint job on the Jambo, a couple different things. And then kind of in the middle of Rob's segment where he talks about what he went through and how Mick was willing at the drop of a hat to come and help him out, we're going to talk about that whole thing, finish up the discussion about the Jack. We're going to drop Rob and then get to know a little bit more about Mick and Rub One Out Barbecue. So that's going to probably take up close to our first hour and 20. And then we're going to finish off with my friend and your reserve grand champion of the Jack Daniels, Barry Johnson, Swiggin' Pig. I don't know how many times I've told you guys on this show, Barry is a hell of a cook. And to take RGC at the Jack, phenomenal job. But anytime you see that Swiggin' Pig roll up at a contest, you know he's going to be somewhere around that top five. So really good to have Barry come back on tonight. You know, as usual, the first time we had him on the show, we got a little bit long-winded. You know, and just didn't get to get everything done with him. So we'll try to recap this weekend and then also talk a little bit more just barbecue, if you will, with Barry Johnson. So real quick, let's talk about the Jack. Your top 10 overall pigskin barbecue, which I don't know all the inner workings, but I know that pigskin is one of the two team members of Swine Assassins. Swine Assassins, I mean, you guys have heard of them. Pigskin has been making a name for themselves the last 2 years. We cooked in front of them at in Vegas. Nice folks. You know, they won the Jack convincingly by about 18 and a half points. Anytime you go to the Jack and put up a 7-0-8 and four call it, you know, you've got 87 of the best teams. We'll drop some of the international teams. You got 80 great teams. They're cooking barbecue. And for you to four call that event, get a call in all four categories, top 10, that's just something real, real special. I know we were listening to the awards here on Barbecue Superstars Radio, and man, you heard pigskin, then you heard pigskin, then you're like, man, they had to take a category. When you heard them get called four times, it was ridiculous. So real quick, top 10 overall, Pigskin Barbecue, beating out Swiggin' Pig by about 18.5. Another Iowa boy, True Bud Barbecue, fourth place. And guys, this is a hell of an accomplishment. Smokin' Hogs. So Smokin' Hogs goes down from Lynchburg out of the Northeast last year, wins the Jack 2011, and then comes fourth place in the Jack 2012. I don't know that there's ever been a back-to-back, especially when the field's been this deep, but 1-4. That's two pretty damn good years of going down and cooking the Jack. Fifth place, Pigs in a Blankets. Pigs in Blankets. Not the Pigs in Blankets. Sixth, Three Eyes Barbecue. Nice. Can't stop them boys this year, man. Those guys are on fire. You know, congratulations to Dan and all the boys on the team. Eric, Mark, all those guys that make up Three Eyes Barbecue, congratulations. Seventh place, Flyboy Barbecue. Eighth place, Buffalo Meatheads. Ninth place, Caveman Cuisine, and 10th place, Firefighters Barbecue Team. Real quick, towards the top here that we see that we've had on the show, we want to congratulate 12th, Mike Richter, Chick Swan and Bovine, and also 24, Paul Huff, GoneHoggin.com. All right, categories real quick. First place chicken, Rhythm and Q. Second place Swiggin' Pig. Third, Smokin' Hot. Fourth, The Barbecue Guru. Fifth, Firefighters Barbecue Team. Ribs, first place with a perfect 180 at the Jack Daniels Three Eyes Barbecue. Second place, Chick Swan and Bovine. Third place, Firefighters Barbecue Team. Fourth place, True Blood. And fifth place, Pigskin Barbecue. Pork, Meadow Valley Barbecue first, Pigskin second, Rusty's Barbecue third, Bringing the Heat fourth, and fifth, Butcher's Barbecue. Brisket, first place, Weekend Warrior Barbecue. Second place, Team InnoServe, which, by the way, is a sponsor team of Cosmos Q, which we're also a sponsor team of. So Cosmos Q is obviously doing the job there. Second place, Brisket, the Jack. Third place, Pigskin. Fourth place, Five Boy. Fifth place, once again, Paul Huff, GoneHoggin.com. So that's your Jack. We want to wish all the guys out there to Vegas that are heading out to Vegas for the World Food Championships this weekend, best of luck, safe travels. Some of the local ones that I'm good friends with that I want to wish special thanks to or special luck to, Team Unknown, obviously, man, those boys, you know, we can go back and tell plenty of campfire stories. I mean, we were the two teams in black in the backyard division way back in 08, 09 over there at Winter Haven. Struck up a friendship, you know. Some good country boys that like to drink whiskey. We're going to pull for them. If you haven't, go over and go on Facebook and check out Steve Daniels. Steve's, actually Civil War Steve, is driving the truck from him and Papa Clark and Mama Clark, or Mama Wickham, took the trailer and headed out here from Polk County, Florida, and are going out to Las Vegas, driving it there and driving it back. And if you watch, Steve does probably three videos a day of just their journey across the country. And it's been pretty damn cool to watch. So Civil War Steve, keep up the good work. You boys at Team Unknown, go get her. And we wish you the best of luck. A couple others down here from the area, we want to wish safe travels and good luck. Hot Wachula's Matt Barber. Obviously, Bubba Latimer with Bubba Q. Terry McKay, Get Her Smoked. Always been a great friend of the show. Always took care of us when it comes to all those custom signs and graphics needs. You got Terry McKay there over at Get Her Smoked Barbecue. And Danny Kugel from Pitbulls Up in Smoke. So you guys be safe getting out there, all guys that are going across the country. And just that's a lot of distance to haul, boys. So we hope you guys go out there, do well, and have safe travels. All right, so one of the things that's happened between this week and last week is we have acquired a new smoker. I ain't going to lie to you guys, it's pretty damn cool. Southern Bread Smokers. So I'll tell you a little bit about how this got started. Tell you a little bit about the cooker because there have been a lot of questions on Facebook. A lot of things. So we'll just kind of talk about it for a minute. We're obviously going to talk more about Southern Bread Smokers in the upcoming weeks, but so Adam Norman, a good buddy of mine, we grew up together here in Lakeland, also like third cousins, so we're relatives, but actually, thank you, Rob Watson, let me go back to World Food Championships, safe travels, and best of luck to Big Papa and Janet over there at Big Papa's Country Kitchen, so thank you for catching me before I got in trouble, guys. So anyway, getting back to Southern Bread Smokers. So Adam and I mean, we've grown up together. We've you know, this and that. And so kept seeing Adam come out. He really only cooks like one or two contests a year. He cooked backyard at Lakeland Pig Fest and maybe backyard at Plant City or Mulberry. Now, Adam's family's been in the metal fabrication business for 30 years, doing a lot of structural metal. They do a lot of custom metal for the mining industries, whether it be diamonds, gold, all these different things. And we're talking about a multi-million dollar fabrication shop. You've got, you know, five programmable CNC-type machines. You've got robotics. This isn't just a couple of boys that said, hey, let's set up and build some smokers. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar metal fabrication company. And I made a comment to Adam this year at Pigfest in January. I said, you know, I saw him over there just working on this old stick burner, you know, every 45 minutes. And boys, I ain't knocking it. If that's what you want to do, do it. But, man, it makes for a real long Saturday. And so I said, Adam, I said, your family's still in the metal fabrication business. I knew they were. I was just being a smartass. And he goes, yeah, yeah, why? I said, man, I said, I can't believe by now, you know, even though just once or twice a year, you ain't came out with a cooker that's designed for making life a little bit easier. And didn't say anything to me. Just, hey, all right. You know, laughed, handed me a beer, and we kept talking. Well, go out to Mulberry FBA contest a couple weeks ago. Find swine. And see this beautiful red cooker. I was like, man, whose is that? And it wasn't until later in Friday night that we got walking around. And I was like, man, that is a nice cooker. And so I went over there, and obviously, you know, Adam wasn't there because when I tell you more about the cooker, you'll know why. I looked at it, and I'm like, man, I was like, this is really nice. It's like, you know, I'm not going to open it up. I know the guy's got meat on it. It's, you know, midnight, blah, blah, blah. But I was just looking around it, looking at the design of it, looking at what was going on. And I said, you know what, just kind of made a note to self, hey, after turn-ins tomorrow, I'm going to come back here and see this guy and talk to him about it a little bit. So sorry, fast forward to Saturday afternoon. Go over there, and I grab my buddy David Kimbrough. I say, hey, man, you got to come over and look at this cooker with me again. We got to meet this guy. So go over there, and it's Adam. I'm like, dude, that's your cooker? He's like, yeah. He goes, I wanted to cook on it before I came and talked to you about it. Go check it out. And so we checked it out. We walked through it. Man, just really, really built well. And the one he's got is much bigger than the one that I've got now. But we talked through what he was doing engineering-wise. So he said, you know, you can go and buy these Stokers and these barbecue gurus, and they're great devices, guys. I know a lot of folks have them out there controlling their cookers, this and that. But Adam said, I want to put electronics in my cooker that I know are tuned for my cooker. Because he said, you know, whether it's the back porch, which is the small model that I've got, or the competitor, which is the model that'll hold... This model that I've got, the back porch, will hold 4 large pans. The next model, the competitor, will hold somewhere between 8 and 10 large pans, depending on how you space out the racks. And then the one that Adam cooks on is called the Granddaddy. And that will hold 16 large pans because it'll hold – no, sorry, wrong math, 15. It's a 5 racks that'll hold 3 wide. And we kind of see the Granddaddy as more of the catering and compete kind of guy. The competitor is going to be the guy that's going to cook the whole contest on one cooker. And the back porch guy is going to be a guy like us that's going to cook his big meats on there, maybe some ribs, but going to have a GMG or two that cooks chicken and ribs, or at least just chicken. So the back porch model, I'll also tell you, is a back porch model. I just posted a picture to Facebook not too long ago because we got it off the trailer, got it cooking. It fit through my screen door coming into my patio by my pool. It's, you know, that's why we call it the back porch. That's what it is. But it's got all the custom electronics. So standard, it's going to come with your draft system. It's got a fan. It's got the electronics. Set it and forget it. Me and Jared seriously got it off the trailer. Brought it in. I had charcoal in it within probably 10 minutes. Set it at 250. Walked away from it. Put a little bit of meat on it to see what it would do with the load. And it's held at 250 all day and all night long. I've messed around with it over at Adam's shop. It looks good there. But, man, just super, super, super excited about it. Good cooker. And I'll tell you what, we're not ready to talk price yet. We're finishing up a couple of things. But when you look at the electronics included, the efficiency of burn, those type of things, I think it's going to come in at a price that's going to be very hard to beat for any other insulated cooker out there on the market. And what do I like about it? It's coming from metal fabricate. You know, like once again, like I said, this isn't just, hey, let's go out, let's build a couple of barbecue cookers. No, not at all. This is 30 years of metal fabrication experience that's ready to go. So I'm looking forward to it. Hold on 1 second, guys. All right. All right, we're back. So look for more details to come. You'll see the Southern Bread Smokers Facebook and Twitter page come up here over the next day. And then you'll also see the website coming up here over the next 2 weeks. I'm putting a lot of effort into the website. It's going to be one of those things where you could go on the website, custom built your smoker. Let's say you don't want regular latches like we have. You want slam latches. Well, that's going to be an option. It's going to cost you a couple extra bucks. You can do that. If you want a laser CNC logo for the front or the back, you can do that. You'll see what the upcharge is. You'll know what it is. And there it is. So this smoker is going to come stock with the electronics, with the wheels. It's pretty well designed. You could go off and cook it like you want to, but you know how we are, guys. We like our things to be a little bit custom, a little bit different for us. And so that's what you're going to see here. So anyway, going to have it out at Plant City, going to be cooking on it. You guys come by, check it out, ask about it, ask all the questions you want to. If you've got any specific questions, you guys know how to get a hold of me, either on Facebook at Whiskey Bent, on Twitter, Whiskey Bent BBQ, or on email at whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com. And if you go to our website, you'll see my phone number right there. So any questions you got about the Southern Bread, give me a call. We're probably going to release pricing here in the next 10 days on the three models. But really good stuff, man. And just, you know, obviously want you guys to take a look at it, get interested in it, and enjoy it and love it. So new insulated cooker on the market, and that is the Southern Bread Smoker. So real quick, one last thing I want to talk about before we go over to our first guest tonight, Rob Marion, Two Worthless Nuts. And that is, if you're looking at cooking an FBA contest early in the year, I want to convince you to come down and join us in Fort Pierce, January 11th and 12th, Cowboys Pig Out Barbecue. Jim McCoy, always been a great cook, and now he organizes the event once a year. They're down in Fort Pierce, promotes his barbecue restaurants, and always well. Sponsored very well by Miller Lite. Going to have a PBR rodeo down there. Going to have all the beer you can drink pretty much if you're a cook team, guys. Jim puts on a heck of a party and an even better contest. So go over. You can check him out on Facebook. Just search for Cowboys Pig Out. You can also go over to flbbq.org, the Florida Barbecue Association website. Go to contest. And you'll see the link right there under January 11th and 12th. And you got to come out there. I hope you guys join us. It's going to be a really good time. It's going to be our first time cooking the contest. But from all the other cook teams we talked to, it is quite the blast. So real quick, I want to check on two calls that I got out here before I go to Rob. 580, who we got? 580, are you there? 580 hung up. 931, who we got?
That's Mick.
That's Rob?
Mick,
all right, Mick, hold on. We're coming to you in a few.
All right, buddy.
Guys, just previewed Mick Chesser right there. But now we're going to go to the main man, the Worthful Nut, Rob Marion.
Always good for the PR.
What's going on, brother?
I'm tired. I'm still wet and cold, but happy camper, that's for sure.
Absolutely, man. So, Rob, maybe not everybody heard the last time we had you on the show where you were talking about, you know, how you kind of got in to the Jack this year. Real quick, can you give us the Cliff Notes version of kind of what went down and how you found yourself going to Lynchburg the end of October this year?
All right. I had qualified and gotten accepted last year for the Ohio Homestead Exemption for winning in Lake Oconee, Georgia, and wasn't able to go due to the troops returning back that I was working with their families. And, I mean, you do your job, you do your work, and barbecue is kind of second.
Yep.
And so this year was invited back as a return. They wanted to kind of do that as a thank you for what I was doing. So, I mean, I thought that was kind of neat. And even though I won some contests this year, you know, to have some funds in, I didn't get drawn, but was able to get that in and was tickled pink to find out that I was going to be part of the Jack this year.
Absolutely. So With that being said, now, was it before you found out about the jack or after that you decided you were going to go with the new full-fledged paint job on the Jambo?
She was ready for a makeover anyway.
Yep.
Through talking with a lady that I was working with, you know, her husband was the painter, and, you know, I was like, well, I'm here in Fort Bragg now. He doesn't have any paint jobs going on. I was like, let's get it done.
Nice.
So decided to switch it up, and I figured what better place to debut the new paint job than the Jack.
No, hell no. That's right on, brother. So let's talk a little bit about the paint job before we get too far into it. I've seen what I've seen on Facebook, and if you guys that know Jambos, there's really kind of a base that you can paint, and then there's a pit. There's a plate on the pit. And then I thought what you did was cool, and you have to talk to me a little bit about this, Rob, is what you did on the smokestack. So kind of talk to me about your inspiration behind the paint job, and then if as best you can, try to lay it out visually for the listeners.
I had met a couple while I was working one time down at Fort Bragg. I was on a retreat, and they were on what's called Gold Star. That's for family members who have lost a family member during war, and so that they kind of get together, and it's a support for them to make sure that, you know, the legacy of that person doesn't die. And we just hit it off. We sat outside. There was a group of us talking until, I don't know, probably 6 o'clock in the morning. And I just got to sit back and listen to stories of their service members who had been killed in action. And this couple, I don't know, we just kind of hit it off and became friends. She's came to a couple of cook-offs. She actually brought one of Jerry's daughters to a cook-off. And I said that, you know, I usually put, and I'll take a picture of it every once in a while, the bracelet that they gave me with his name, his rank, and when he was killed in action. And I'll put that up by the smokestack. And I was like, you know, what happens if I lose it? So I just went ahead and went full tilt, and I said I want it to be a black chrome, and I said, but I want his name in chrome so that everybody can see it that comes up to look, so that everybody has to ask, you know, and they did this weekend, you know, what's up with the guy's name? And so even though I never got the chance to meet him, it was a chance for him to continue living on.
Dude, that's pretty cool, Rob. That's really cool. So that's what you got on the smokestack. Talk a little bit about the paint job on the base.
On the base, I went ahead and I let him go nuts with it. I told him, I said, the nameplate that I wanted the smokestack, and I wanted the nameplate. And I wanted the POWMIA because, you know, I think that our generation has kind of went the wayside of that. You know, we didn't have the Korean War. We didn't have the Vietnam War. And there's one POW from this current war. And so we don't really look at it the same way.
No.
So I wanted to do a tribute for that. And I've ordered the table. There's a circle table that comes with it. And then on a plate you have salt and a lemon, and there's a red rose. And there's a lot of significance that comes with it. It's the POW special seat. And that'll debut at every contest that I go to starting next year.
Awesome. No, that's great. And I'll tell you, I mean, to me, when I saw the POWMI, it means a lot to me just because – my grandfather was a Purple Heart out of Korea, and you're right. I mean, when you hear some of the stories about, you know, some of the friends that he lost and this and that, I think the wars that we've lived in mine and your lifetime, you know, the war sucks all the way around. But
yeah,
you know, there's been a lot of life loss and this and that. But when you really hear some of those POW and MIA stories, man, they're wrenching. You know, so I think that was a great homage you paid on the plate there.
It was a neat, I mean, the first conversation that I had, I didn't get to have it in the camper, so I had to drive it. And, I mean, I stopped at a gas station, and, I mean, lo and behold, you know, old guy, Korean War vet hat, you know, he comes up and we talk for a half an hour. And, I mean, you know, to me, that was just the ultimate homage of getting to tell this stranger, thank you.
Yeah.
And, it wouldn't have been, you know, if it had been the Hot Rod Flames, yeah, maybe he would have came over and talked about it.
Yeah.
But he just saw that, and he wanted to come over and thank me, and I'm like, no, sir. You know, you did all the work. But the kid on the side, you know, I said, I'd like to have something that, you know, just kind of gives over time. And so different parts of the pit, there's the Vietnam era, there's World War II, and then there's the current Operation Enduring Freedom on through type segments. And so, and it's neat because guys were coming by and identifying aircraft and tanks that are on there, you know, just based off of the shape. And it was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, he went with World War II there, and, you know, we went with silver leaf barbed wire, and is it perfect barbed wire? No. And he says, but you find me a perfect barbed wire in a war, and, you know, I'll put perfect barbed wire on your pit.
Yeah, exactly. No, there isn't. And believe me, my grandpa made me string many a string of barbed wire. I can tell you, there's none of them that's perfect. For sure.
And then he also went, and, you know, I'm going to try to bring Blacklight down to Florida because he did it with a reactive paint. So at nighttime, if you have a Blacklight, that pit just glows.
Oh, wow. Too awesome. Well, I'm sure if you can't bring one between the crowd that I hang out with, I'm sure one of us got a Blacklight.
Rock on.
That we can bring. So just let me know if you need one, and I'll make sure we scurry one up.
Awesome.
So obviously, you know, you acquired this toy hauler because you wanted something besides what you – all the times I've cooked against you, I've seen you rock it. The truck, the 10x10, and the Jamba. And you know, and for all the right reasons, you decided, hey, I want a little better digs. So you get a toy hauler that'll hold the Jamba. And after you had done that, your plan for going to the Jack, when did you plan on leaving?
I was going to leave Wednesday night, have everything loaded up. Corey with Satfax was keeping my camper in the backyard.
Yep.
And so I was just going to pick up the pit, throw it up in, and be ready to roll. It was all packed up with my spices, my sauces, everything that I needed was all ready to go.
Excellent. So now, you know, and for the guys that don't realize, so, you know, you just got done doing a contract in Fayetteville, Alabama. Is that contract up, Rob, or are you still there working out of Fayetteville?
North Carolina, no. My contract ended on Wednesday.
Okay.
So it was, now I'm homeless barbecue.
So Corey had been holding your trailer. You go down, you pick it up. By the way, I mean, I know you've ate at Corey's a couple times. What do you think over there at Old Fat Bats?
I tell you what, he's done a hell of a job. And, you know, everybody out there, if you can, send him a note. He just lost his mom.
I know.
And I know he's having a hard time with it. But, you know, just send him a note of support because he was really close to his mom. So, but, he's really knocking it out of the park.
And there ain't much better fella right there, man, than Corey Brimson.
No, sir.
Hell of a nice guy.
No, sir. That's my Fayetteville brother.
Yeah, and you know what, man? I'd only talked to him on the radio and a couple phone conversations. But, man, I felt like that night that I met him, if I'd have told him, hey, man, I need you to give me the shirt off your back and a couple of bucks, if he wouldn't have had it,
he would have given it to you.
He would have made it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, in a heartbeat.
For you guys that have heard Corey and know about Corey, you know, even if you just want to make it just a message on Facebook private, you know, just send it to him and tell him you're thinking about him, you're praying for him, and that'll go a long way with him, man. He just kind of loves that brotherhood and loves having that comfort around him. So I think that's the least we can do,
yeah.
Rob.
I appreciate that very much.
All right.
But so I went over to Corey's and broke the stem. And, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's not calling a tire service without paying $300 to get it done. So I was like, well, let's just load up the Jambo on the truck and, you know, we're going to hit it. Would you get a real dog? You there?
Hold on 1 second. One more second.
All right.
We're back.
All right.
He was. Here's the great thing about it. He was somehow hungry. Well, so there's, and you'll see if you stay here when you come to Plant City. I got French doors between the back office and the regular part of the house. Well, when he started barking the first time, I just shoved him out there and closed the French doors. Well, he somehow got his way back around the house and came back through the doggy door. Well, now the problem is I've locked myself out of the rest of the house because the French doors are locked. And my wife now in her new firefighter job won't be home until 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's going to be interesting once this show's over how I get myself back into the main part of the house.
Only you.
But the reason he was barking was because he was hungry. I had just pulled two steaks off the grill, and I just fed him one. So hopefully the one will keep him at bay for the rest of the show.
But, yeah, as I was saying, so I broke off, and I just decided to heck with it. You know, it's a jack, so there's no reason to sit there and waste time. I wanted to get there. So I just loaded up, and I posted something about, well, so much for that idea, you know, going hillbilly, redneck, at the jack.
So you decided that at Corey's house. You said, hey, I broke the stem. I'm not going to call somebody this late. I'm going to go ahead and just pull the Jambo out of the trailer, throw my sauces and rubs and all that stuff in my truck, and just go.
Yep. And okay. I didn't even have the tent because I had brought that up to Cowboy Dan since I had an awning on the trailer. I was like, well, I won't need it. So there was no tent, no nothing. It was just going to be tables and tailgate.
Wow. Wow.
But luckily,
you got a lot of experience doing that, and you won a lot of contests cooking that way. But the problem is, I mean, it was. Let's not act like the weather at the Jack was forecasted to be Chamber of Commerce days. It was not the best of weather, my friend.
It was. I mean, anybody that's got the opportunity to go and visit there during the Jack or cook there knows that it's going to start raining at some point, and it's going to get cold starting Friday night. And, but it was just like, well, okay, you know, it is what it is, and this is what we have. And, you know, I had friends coming in from all over the country, and it was just like, well, you know, hopefully they'll just be happy at being at the Jack because they're going to be cold and wet.
All right, so does Mick see what you posted on Facebook? Are you and Mick friends? How does this whole thing turn out that he gets in touch with you?
I met Mick when we cooked the Wounded Warrior cook off in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yep, which me and you talked about last time on the show, which was everybody gave everything back.
Yep, it was a phenomenal contest. And, you know, there's something about being from Cleveland, Ohio, that, you know, you come down south and people like to razz you a little bit. And I had Nick next to me, and he definitely liked to razz. And he's a good old Tennessee boy. And, you know, it was Yankee this and Yankee that. And but we had a good time. I mean, we had it was fun. And had talked a few times since then, but he got in touch with me and says, hey, you know, it may not be much, but I've got my shanty. Do you want me to bring it down? Without a doubt, the answer was yes. Willing to take.
Well, with that being said, let's bring Mick in. Because I want him to describe the shanty to us.
All right.
Mick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent, man. All right, guys. Mick Chesser, Rub One Out Barbecue. You heard Rob lead up to it. You know, he needed something. Mick reached out to him. So, Mick, tell what you had to offer Rob.
Well, it's my villa. I built this thing last year before the Sam's Club thing, and it's basically a 12-foot dovetail trailer I had, and I framed it up, and it's covered with black roofing tin. But, you know, it's dry. It's air-conditioned. It has a heater, has a table in it, stereo, TV. You know, he said he wanted to go redneck, so I thought I'd offer it. I live an hour and a half from Lynchburg, so I knew what the weather was going to be like. And I used to cook with a stick burner under a tent, and there is no way I'd want to do it with 35 degree nights and misting rain all day. So I just figured it'd be best to help him out, and hopefully he'd enjoy his trip down there.
Well, man, first off, that's awesome, and I think, and the whole, you know, and these guys will tell you, when I saw Mick, I saw that Rob was having trouble on Facebook. I saw where Mick made a post about taking the Villa to Lynchburg. I saw where Rob said, thank you very much. And the next thing I did was message both of them on Facebook and said, I don't care what the results are. I love this story. We're going to talk about it Tuesday night. Because this story is what competition barbecue is. Yeah, are we competitors against each other? Absolutely. But we're brothers and sisters just the same. And I don't know. I think it's just bad. And even, I mean, Mick, I mean, let's call Rob what he is. He's a damn Yankee.
Yeah, he's a Yankee. But he's a good old boy.
But he's a good Yankee. We'll take care of him, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, and you know what? He knows enough. If he doesn't talk, he can act Southern when he's down in our parts. But, you know.
See, I'm North Carolina born and bred. I just left.
All right, so Rob, you and Mick talk, and he says, "Hey, I'm gonna bring the Villa down to Lynchburg for you." And so obviously at that point in time, you had to be a little bit happier, brother.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it's just knowing, and I tell you what, if it wasn't for the Villa, I don't think the results would have been as good as what they were, because it was cold, it was windy, and it was rainy, and you know, we had three people in there in between me getting meat ready and Val Wilson getting the presentation ready. And, you know, I had the guys from Southern Crunk on there with me and another friend, Jessica, and then a friend from Cleveland that works with Mike Simon. I mean, you know, everybody would have been miserable. But it worked, and I'm forever grateful.
Awesome, man. And so, Mick, do you just load up? Do you take the wife and kids down there? I mean, what do you end up doing?
Well, the Friday of the Jack is something that me and my daughter do. So I pull her out of school, and me and her go down there on Friday, so she gets to see everybody she sees on TV, and I get to visit with friends. So, you know, it was a trip I was going to have to make anyway. That's just how we spend our Fridays. And when Rob needed that, I thought, well, I could step up and help him out, and that's what I done. So.
Well, that's pretty awesome. And so did you and your daughter stay there and spend the whole weekend, right?
No, we just go down on Fridays, and we'll come back Friday afternoon. Saturday, everybody's busy. It's a crowd. So we just go down on Fridays.
So seriously, this year, even though you took the Villa down to Rob, you dropped it off and went back home?
Yeah. I come back Sunday morning and picked it up.
Wow. Man, I'll tell you what, Mick, that's curbside service, my friend.
Well, yeah. You know, it's Southern hospitality.
Absolutely.
With
no,
a
man,
smile.
That is a... Now, which one thing that I see from Facebook is, I don't know who's the better cook out of y'all two. You or your daughter, Mick. I hear she's quite the cook.
Yeah, her and her brothers, they've already got a GC under their belt at a backyard competition, and we were walking around the shade tree division over there at the Jack, and a couple of the guys recognized her from when she tore them up in Dixon, and they were sure to ask to make sure she was coming back so they had a chance to redeem themselves next year.
That is too funny, man, but that's what it's all about, sharing the passion that we got, guys, with the next generation. That's awesome. So Rob, you get there, you know, Mitch bailed you out. What time did you pull in to Lynchburg, Rob?
Oh, shoot, I was so brain fried that I'm not real sure. I think I got there about 2:00. And on Thursday, and just kind of started taking it all in. You know, it was just dropping off the pit, and then I had to wait for everybody to start kind of coming in, and just waiting on, most of them got in on Friday. So, You know, it was a matter of, okay, we got that. And then since some of the, my teammates were running late, went ahead and let Mick and his daughter step in on Bobo reservations and had fun with that. You know, went around, got the barrelhead, started getting that signed.
And that's what I wanted to ask, and I'm glad to hear it. Was, I mean, did the travel snafu impact seeing any of the quote-unquote sites? And it doesn't seem like it did. It seemed like you did marry Bobo's, went and got your barrel head. You know, you were able to get the whole Lynchburg experience still, right?
Oh, yes. You know, we had a phenomenal potluck on Thursday night. Everybody's pretty much there and in. So, you know, it's going around and giving hugs and congratulating everybody that's gotten there. And then I went to the hotel, crashed out, came back the next day, and then it's contest time. You know,
So now let me ask you this. You found out about being in the Jack a little bit later than everybody else. How far out did you have to go to get a hotel?
Luckily, I had connections that had some extra hotel rooms. There's something to be said about being a well-traveled barbecuer.
Hey, having cooked 12 states myself, I can say the same. It is nice to have friends in low places sometimes when it comes to geographically.
Yep. So it wasn't bad. We stayed at the Jameson. It was 12, 15 miles away. Straight shot. Was a nice hotel. You know, it wasn't the Radisson, but, you know, then again, it wasn't the Cockroach either.
Yep.
So it was just a good place to get showered, get dry, and get rested.
Man, all I've ever said, at a barbecue contest, all you want to do is shower and get vertical. I mean,
yep.
It doesn't matter if it's a cot, a bed, or whatever. But as a big man, like myself, it's just nice to just get vertical. Just get off your feet, you know, get a little blood flowing latitude-wise. And get cleaned up. That's all you really look for.
And that's the way it worked. And you know, it was a good cook. We had fun. I tell you what, again, the Southern Crunk boys. I mean, Randy and Andy from the Pitmaster show. I told them their one job was just to keep me loose, and just to not take the contest so serious, because I wanted to enjoy the experience. And we had a friend Jessica come in that. You know, she just wanted to be at the Jack, and she's a workhorse. And it was just Matt Harlan from Michael Simons from up in Cleveland. And, you know, it was just good to have friends there because I wanted to share the experience. You know, you don't go in expecting to win the Jack. You just go in and say, hey, I got here, and let's not finish last.
Yep. So, you know, you get there, and Rob, I got to say that it would probably be the way, you know, just like you summed it up, you know, if we ever get there, get the bung drawn, I'm going to go out there and experience it, you know, and I'm going to take the cook serious, I'm going to want to do my best, but I'm not going to walk away going, I was too serious about cooking and didn't really enjoy everything. And it seems like you had the same approach, correct?
Most definitely. It was my first time getting to cook it under my team. I've been there to cook with friends, and, you know, we had fun when I went and cooked with friends, but I wanted to be responsible for us to have fun, and by God, if we accomplished anything else, it was it.
That's awesome, man. And so when you get out there and Saturday 2 o'clock rolls around, how did you feel about the cook?
Well, I loved it because Randy and Andy stood out there. They stayed out on site, and I think that they had a few more libations after I left.
I got to meet those guys. They seem like a good time.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, it just all you got to do is say, I got this, boo, and we all know what you're talking about. which comes from the weekend, and, you know, as long as if you got a beard, you're all right. You know,
it
kind of goes in. And we had just sayings and, I mean, it was a good time with some good friends, and that's what I took away from it. You know, I got to share an experience. There was another 3,000, 4,000 teams that wished that they were there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, so, I mean, was there any, when we talk about the cook, was there any categories that stood out to you, like, man, that's rock star, or man, you know, I've turned him better? I mean, how did you feel about it going to awards?
Well, when I ranked my meats before awards, and I said my brisket was the best, chicken, ribs, and then pork. But, you know, then there's this thing called judging that kicks in.
Yeah.
And my pork was the highest scoring, and my chicken was the lowest. I think I finished 70-something in chicken. And,
wow.
You know, you take it on the chin.
Rob,
you know, it's just like,
Rob, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you lost to some international teams in chicken.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, I lost to some international teams overall.
Yeah, yeah.
They brought it this year. There were some international teams in the top 20.
Yeah,
quite a few. But, you know, and that's just where you kind of take it, and it's the same chicken that I've cooked and I've won with, the same chicken that I got the 180 with. That's the same chicken I cook.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit at the right time. And it's like, okay, you know, it wasn't because of the white meat. I thought it was pretty good. But, you know,
well, obviously, nobody's going to want to shig that chicken score. So, what did you do for white meat? Wings?
I did the flappers.
Flappers. Really?
Yeah, because that's your white meat for the wings, so.
Yep. No. I agree. I mean, I may have put one of those in a turnip box at one point in time in my life.
And it was a pretty box, you know, but it just didn't hit. And I think that the most pressure that I felt was before awards. I just, you know, I get nervous anyway at awards, so I generally stand off in the way.
Yep.
And
I've seen you.
But at this one, I mean, I was off in a way. And I think that the pressure was not to get a call, but I wanted to get a call from my friends because then all of us would get to go up there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, didn't get the call. And they let me know that it was all right. So, I mean, you know, but that was my biggest pressure, is I didn't want people to come all that distance and get skunked. And, you know, we did. But, you know, nobody looked at me bad and said, God, you POS, why did we waste our time?
Exactly. Yeah, the Jack is one of those contests in the Royal where whoever came with you walks with you, the whole group.
Yeah.
And if somebody says, well, y'all walk 15 people, well, you turn around and say, yeah, we just walked the Jack or the Royal. So what? You know? And, no, I totally understand that because, you know, I just think it speaks about who you are. You didn't want to let anybody down. You know?
Yeah.
So, standard, I get it, brother. But what the next thing I want to ask you, and obviously, I mean, you had a blast. You'd love to get pulled and go back and do it all over next year, right?
I tell you what, it was awesome. The biggest congrats. I mean, Pigskin just put a thumping on everybody,
woo,
as he's done all year.
Yeah.
But you know, to see Barry and Swiggin get that reserve, you know, that was awesome too. You know, he's had a great year and just a hell of a good guy.
But I'm going to tell you what, Rob, you've been there. You've pulled it up a contest and saw him there, and you went, man, shit's a little bit tougher this week. I mean,
oh yeah,
Barry's just a damn good cook. And you know, and he's put up a couple of 700 numbers this year. And I'll tell you what, I mean, in KCBS putting up a 700, you've done some cooking.
It's very consistent. And I mean, you know, Barry's just a very good, consistent cook. But, you know, then again, he's one of those that, you know, just help out the next guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a good old Southern boy, man. And that's, you know what, Barry's probably one of the top five guys I get questions about people that have been interviewed on the show. They're like, you know, he seems really laid back. Is he that laid back? And I'm like, well, the times I've had interactions with him, he sure is. I think that's just the way he's wired, guys. That's just his deal, you know?
Well, and that's, you know, even with Mick, you know, we had talked earlier that, you know, we want to do an MBN contest together because I'll tell you what, with Mick's draw and I mean, we can come up with some tales and
boy,
just have some fun cooking.
Dude, I'll tell y'all what, if y'all are looking for a third, I'm in.
All right.
I've
always an open invitation.
I've always wanted to do an MBN, And with you two fellas, I can only imagine that it would be a hoot.
Oh, I can guarantee you we'd have fun at the least. But
exactly.
You know, we got a lot of the same mentors in MBN that have helped us, and we're ready to step over to it some and kind of give them some KCBS blood for a while.
Dude, hey, I'm gonna tell you what, I'd love to join in that, because that would be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, you guys don't have an outlet. I have an outlet where I get to talk and do this for 2 hours a week, and maybe that's my MBN presentation. But man, I would love to have 5 minutes with the judge, because I mean, I'm a salesman by nature. It would be a good time.
Oh, and it's when I've done them and sitting there and telling the judge what their taste buds are doing when they're doing it, and that they're doing that because I designed it that way. You know, you just get a look. They get a look on their face like, "How do you know this?" Well, because I've cooked a time or two.
Yeah. Hey, babe, this ain't the first time I've run this recipe on you. Believe me.
No.
Man, that is too awesome. So, Rob, one of the last questions for you, then we're going to go over to Mick, because I want to let the listeners get to know Mick a little bit.
Awesome.
Where are we going to see you next?
You're going to see me in your backyard, big dog. I'm not done cooking, and I went to Cummins, Georgia last year, and that was a phenomenal contest, but it was cold.
Yep.
And, I mean, it wasn't just a little bit cold. It was you lose
damn
your right when cold.
Damn cold.
And so this year I looked at it and I said, you know what? I know that there's one place that I think I'd really like to end up, and that's Plant City.
Man.
And my last cook of the year is going to be back there.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're still unemployed at the time, dude, pull it up. Hey, pull down here and come hang out for some days. Like I told you today, we've got an open guest bedroom. You're more than welcome to it. Hang out. We'll cook some steaks, have some drinks, and we'll do all that before the contest even starts. But But no, I know you called me a week or two ago, and I didn't call you back, and I apologize, brother. But give me a holler tomorrow or Thursday, and let's lay it out and see what your travel looks like, because I'm probably going to take the majority of that week off, because I work for a French company. And we get a lot of vacation days, and I don't think I've taken many yet. So my whole last 6 weeks of the year could look really awesome. But I want to take probably the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week off. So let's hook it up, find out what your travel schedule is. I'd love to what I would like to do, if you don't mind, if you could be down here on Wednesday. We may just have a little get together at the house on Wednesday. Bring some of my good FBA friends over, all of us hang out, cook some steaks, you know, drink some beers, and just you know, have a little bit of good time together.
I'm game. You said my favorite two words: steak and beer.
Absolutely. Hey, I got a teammate that works at Publix that cuts some things about 2 inches thick for me. So we'll have some real good pieces of beef to eat, my friend.
Sounds awesome, man.
All right, brother. Well, Rob, dude, congrats again on going to the Jack this year. I know the results weren't where they where you ultimately didn't want them to be, but you had a great time with good friends. Before I let you go, any sponsors you want to thank?
Well, can I throw in that 2 second? I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
I'm so sorry. Take more than 2 seconds. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. I know that everybody's been seeing OBR, Operation Barbecue Relief, posting real heavy. We're getting ready to head to the Northeast to the largest disaster that OBR has been part of with the hurricane. Looks like we're going to be in the New Jersey area. But when they're asking for donations, I mean, $25 can go a long way, but it's $25 that's needed to be sent to them. And I'll tell you what, we're kind of low, and, you know, to get it started, and it's just an opportunity for the barbecue community to give back. And so, I mean, I'm giving up. I'm not going to go cook in Shelby, North Carolina. This is where I'm being led to go and to give back. You know, something that right now, folks, I talked to a friend up there, and he said that it was just some devastation. And so I'm heading out tomorrow to help out with OBR, at least for a week and a half or so, or until, you know, nothing's needed. And so everybody that's seen the OBR postings, you know, give their website a visit. Just if you've got it, give it. If not, that's okay. You know, don't feel bad. Find a way to give time, energy, something else. Pass on to your friends, family members, anybody else that might be able to donate, because this one's huge.
Well, and that's a great point. For any of you guys that are looking for it, I just shared the link on our Facebook, Whiskey Bent. Go check it out. And I'll tell you what, Rob, I think it's great that you look at it and you go, hey, I've got the time off. I'm going to go do it. And he, it looks like we got a couple of guys. Rob Watson here from Burning Tree says, tell Rob to hit me up and I will help with whatever that they need, whatever he needs. So, you know, Rob's over there in Pennsylvania. He'll do whatever he can. And that's what it is, guys. If you don't have dollars but you're local, just anything you can do. It may just be, hey, here's a Cambro or here's a, you know, it's a grassroots effort. And Jeff and those guys have done a phenomenal job.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, that's one that I've given some of my winnings to. I've picked out contests throughout the year to give to different organizations, and they got one, and it's just because I believe in them so much and what it is and what it means to not only the barbecuers, because I'm looking for the gift to come to me. You know, I'm get to give.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's just the experience in and of itself, and, you know, I've got a skill set, and my God, put me to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, Rob, what we may do is if you're going to be up there that long, if you could break away next Tuesday night, we may just call and get a 15-minute update. And just
I'd be more than happy.
Yeah, if you're up there or if you're not up there, I would still just like to have you come on next Tuesday night, 15, 20 minutes, and just talk to us about what you saw, what you guys were able to do with OBR, and go from there, man.
Sounds like a winner to me. You got it.
Dude, brother, it's always a pleasure. There's few guys in the barbecue.
All right.
Few guys in the barbecue community I love as much as you, man. Always good to have you on the show. You're a great fellow, man, and I can't wait to see you down here in Plant City and have a drink and cook some barbecue against you and hopefully beat you.
Keep open.
Hey, we're going to have a good time either way, aren't we, my friend?
Damn, Skippy. Now introduce him to Mick, buddy.
All right, brother. Thanks, Rob.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys. Rob Marion, you don't get a much better dude than that, man. Rob's a great fella, really nice guy, Two Worthless Nuts Barbecue. You guys got to see him and meet him not only on the show but on Pitmasters this year. Just a great fella, and looking forward to cooking against him down here in Plant City this year and showing him a little bit of that Southern hospitality. Even more. You can't do it even more. I think Mick went out of his way to do what he did for Rob the Jack. And, Mick, we're going to bring you back up. You there, my friend?
Yeah, buddy, I'm here.
Good deal, man. So, you know, we already introduced you a little bit, talking about, you know, just the selflessness of, hey, I'll bring my rig up there. I'll come back and pull it back up. You know, I'll pull it back when you're done. That overall was just a varsity move and just something that should be commended. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, obviously you've got, and I've said it on the beginning of the show, and I believe in it, and I kind of, that's why I kind of got offended when you said, make sure you spell my team name right if you put it in your status. I was like, dude, I know that team name. That is the awesomest team name I've ever seen, and I've seen some good team names. But Rub One Out Barbecue is great. Tell me how that thing came about, Mick.
Well, it started a couple of years ago. It's me and my brother-in-law that cooked together, and we've both got a pretty good sense of humor. So we just sat down with several beer and a piece of paper and just started writing down team names, and we had some other pretty good ones. I can't remember what they were, but they obviously weren't that good, so we just rubbed one out. I mean, there's always little innuendos and stuff in team names, so we thought we'd just go with Rub One Out Barbecue.
Dude, that's It's also, you know, people always ask, well, you know, where did Whiskey Vent come from? Well, we were sitting there, we were drinking, Hank Williams came on, and you know, hey, we decided we'd drop the Hellbound if we want to do church caterings and just stay with Whiskey Vent Barbecue. And it's always interesting to hear how names come about. But man, that one's a classic. Do you guys sell shirts and hats and stuff at contests?
We did. Our first year out, we ordered about 300 shirts, and they had our slogan on the front, which is "You can't beat our meat, but you sure can rub it." And, had the rub one out logo on the back, which is on our banner. Had it on the back, and we went through those like hotcakes. We haven't got any shirts lately. We'll probably get some more soon because we've always got people asking for them when they see us wearing around a barbecue competition.
Excellent, man. So let's step back a second, Mick, and let's understand, how did you get into competition barbecue? What drove you to it?
Well, I always cooked, and my brother-in-law, he lived down in Georgia, and he cooked too. He's originally from Memphis. And I was actually with my kids at the Jack about 4 years ago. And he and I had talked about starting to do some backyard competitions and stuff. And I was dragging my kids around the Jack, and a sweet swan of mine had won Memphis in May that year. And I remember walking by their pit, or by their spot, about the time they pulled the top off their kettle with their chicken in it. And it looked just like my chicken. And I saw their ribs come out, and it looked just like mine. So I just picked up the phone and called him. I said, you know, we got to do this. I said, this barbecue just looks just like what we turn out at the house. I said, so there can't be that much difference. So we done some more research and just jumped in, you know, head first into the pro side of it. We didn't do any backyards or anything. And first time out, first competition in Winchester, Tennessee, we pulled in eighth place brisket. And after that, it was just all over but the crying. So we've just been doing it the past. This is our third year cooking. And we've consistently got better. So it's just something we've enjoyed doing. And it was something me and him was able to do, get away from everybody and just have a real good time.
No, that's awesome. So, yep. You know, when you get started, what do you now? Obviously, were you cooking in the backyard on something that you liked, and that was just your first cooker? You know, that you started cooking contest on, or what was it?
Well, I had one of them little bitty offsets you get at Walmart for $150, and he actually ended up building a couple of UDSs, and then I built myself two UDSs, and then on top of that, I had a 250-gallon propane tank, and I turned that into a smoker. Lena, that's her name, and we cooked on 40 UDSs and Lena, and under 2 tenths, and we drug that around for about 3 or 4 contests, and then we just got to where we were doing everything on Lena because it was just so much easier.
Yep. You pull one cooker, you cook it all on it, and you just let it go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We start the fire at 3 o'clock in the morning, so we ain't tending that thing all that long.
Oh, so you're a little bit hot and fast, as we'd call it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Ain't no sense in babysitting it when you can be drinking.
Hey, man, we always love hot and fast cooks in the pit. Mick, so one thing I want to hit on before we get more into the barbecue is, you know, you're the first winemaker we've had on the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about how you got into that thing?
Well, it's actually my father started making wine many years ago and as a hobby.
Shine or wine?
Wine.
Okay.
That was a hobby. Then, you know, all of a sudden family comes along and career comes along. And then he got pretty hard and heavy into it about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when he was getting closer to retirement. And then actually opened up a winery 5 years ago, I guess. I was in the automotive field, and at that time I was running a big diesel shop in Franklin, Tennessee. And things, we kind of didn't agree on certain things, that particular business, and I parted ways and just minimize my lifestyle to where I could work with my dad. So now I spend my days either riding a tractor around the vineyards or helping him in the tank room make wine. So it's quite enjoyable. I enjoy every day of it.
Now, let me ask you this. So it's one of those times where, and brother, I'm going to tell you, I respect the hell out of you already, because you said I minimalize things But I'll tell you what, I bet you wake up every day happier, and I bet you go to bed every day more fulfilled, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I actually I got rid of my 2,000-square-foot house with a garage, and I moved back into my first home, which is a nice little single-wide trailer right there close to the winery. It's been paid for many years. So I just said, you know what, I can be right here where I don't have to drive to work. I can ride the tractor to work, the four-wheeler to work, or whatever, walk. And, you know, no bills, you know, no house, no payment, no BS. So it's, that was the way to go for me. I really I'm glad I made that move.
That's – so one of those guys, I've always looked up to guys that can find a way to do their passion and still support. I mean, you're obviously supporting the family. So I mean, you guys are doing something. It's not like you're, you know, just out there screwing around every day. I mean, you guys have a cause. You're making wine, and so talk to us a little bit about. I'm not a big wine drinker. My wife is. Yeah. So what kind of wines do you produce?
Well, I've got 5.5 acres of grapes. I go Cabernet Sauvignon, Touriga, Chamberson, and Traminette. And I make my dry reds out of what I grow. Our sweet wines are from juice or grapes that we get in from out of state, upstate New York, South Georgia, places like that. I've got about 10 different wines from dry to sweet. And they're all real good. You can check them out at grinderswitchwinery.com or gswinery.com as our website. I've got a couple good dry reds that, like I said, I grow there, make them there. The sweet wines, like I said, we get the juice in, the grapes in, and we make it all there. But it's just stuff that's not every wine tastes the same. All of them's a little bit different. So, you know, there's something there for everybody.
No, and that's super cool.
Yeah.
Most definitely. So let's go back to barbecue for a second. And by the way, do you ever have any of that on you at a contest? People want to taste? Okay.
Absolutely. I always carry usually a couple bottles of sweet wines. Not everybody's a big dry wine drinker, so I don't.
Yeah.
Every now and again, I'll have one of my dry wines with me, but usually it's a sweet wine because it's usually the ladies that somebody's wife or girlfriend that's there wants to, you know, I've heard you make wine. You got any with you? Sure. Here's, got a Dixie cup. So I'll pour them a sip or two in that Dixie cup for them to enjoy. And I tell you what, you'd be surprised the barbecue people that either order it from me or call me before I head out to see where I'm cooking that weekend. Here, just how much is it? Bring me a case or whatnot, and it's really helped.
Well, that's nice, and you know how the barbecue community is, man. I mean, if they like something you got, they're gonna support their own.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about us. I mean, we're gonna take care of our own folks first, and then everybody else, you know, maybe if we really like it. So, all right, so let's get back to talking a little bit more about barbecue for a second. Now, let's not sleep on you. I believe you got a 180 under your belt, don't you?
Yeah, I got that at the end of our first year cooking on lean. I was down there in Lewisburg by myself. My buddy Ken from Charcoal Cowboys actually helped me out that morning because I decided I wanted to sleep a little later, so he was kind enough to get lean going for me. I got a fat plug in there for him. But, yeah, we cooked a 180. We've steadily been improving all year. We got a chicken call in, rib call, and got that. Our brisket had always been good. That would have been our backbone, really. We'd always been getting calls on it. And I'd never heard my name called, and I thought, well, this is it. I ain't getting a top 10 call. And then they called me for that. So we got reserve grand champion behind Barry at that contest.
Mm.
That's my 180. That was it right there.
I remember seeing you put that on Facebook, you know, and I think maybe on Twitter, and I, you know, remembered seeing the name and the name stuck, and
yeah.
I'm like, damn, 180, man, that's pretty awesome. And I kind of looked back and I was like, man, these guys haven't cooked that long, so to get a 180
yeah.
is even more special, you know.
Yeah, that was our first year out. Like I said, our first year out, and I think I looked back, and that year there were 13 briskets that were 180s.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good company to be in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I got a lot of people that they see me pull up and they go, "Uh oh, you're gonna have a 180 brisket today," and who knows?
Like, hey, don't judge me on my best. Let's go middle of the road here, guys.
Exactly.
Awesome. So You're cooking hot and fast. Would you say brisket's still your strongest category?
No, actually, last year it done good. We done the Sam's Club last year, and it got us to the Nationals. Our brisket calls did, I think. Our chicken steadily improved last year, and I've done even more tweaking on it this year. And I've done 6 contests so far this year, and the last 5 I've had a top 10 chicken call in every one of them. So chicken's really kept me going this year. My pork has come up. My ribs have gotten better. My brisket's just now getting back to where I want it to be. So, you know, it kind of slacked off, I guess, while I was focusing on other meats. But it's all coming back around. We're just trying to figure out flavor profiles, everything that works good.
Now, I'm going to ask you, with tweaking that chicken, because I've been a chicken tweaker myself. I mean, we had a chicken that for a year was finishing in the top 5 every contest.
Right.
And then, man, when it fell off, it fell hard, man.
Yeah.
And so my question to you is, are you and now it's coming back a little bit. Last contest, we took a 4th. And, you know, we think we got it dialed back in. And I'll tell you, it's simpler than the chicken we were cooking beforehand when we were doing well. I mean, are you noticing the same thing, or are you doing a whole bunch of craziness?
No, actually, I think my last contest, Jackie Price, I think y'all know him, Smoke on This. He was just below me, and he's always been a good chicken cook. And, of course, I like to razz him. They get that good chicken. I ain't going to. A little bit pricey. They spend about $25 probably on some chicken. I go to my local grocery store and I get about $8 worth. And I spend about 45 minutes trimming it and I'm done. And, you know, I egg him on about that every time I see him. But
you're cooking a little hotter and faster, so you're not worried about scraping the skins or none of that. You're just trying to get
I scrape my skins. Oh, yeah. It don't take long to do it.
Well, how many pieces are you cooking? 15?
16 to 18 pieces.
Okay. So do you scrape your skins or do you fillet the fat off of them?
Oh, I just make sure all that fat's off there.
Okay.
I don't know what you'd call it. I just it don't take but a minute, so I just do it.
No problem, man. So on brisket, now you talked about they cook those high quality briskets. So I'm guessing you're not a Wagyu man on brisket.
No, you know the 180 brisket. I actually got it from Walmart. To me, it's what the meat looks like and what the grain looks like in it. I don't care what it says on the package. I got my last, and I got 11th place in, up in Kentucky, and I went to House of Hickory and got it, and it was good. But it's not a Wagyu or nothing. I've had those before that other people have cooked, and I just don't like them. So I don't.
Too rich?
They got an odd flavor to me. An odd flavor and an odd texture, and I thought it just seemed too fake, and I didn't like it, so.
Okay. So, I mean, you're pretty much running regular old IBP ribs, IBP pork, just, you know, I mean, you're keeping it simple.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not running Durox or nothing or Wagyu or, you know, I'm keeping it in the budget. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking simpler.
Right.
That's part of
it. Yeah. Well, you know, I can go into my meat. I can go to my meat guy and I can handpick my meat out.
Right.
So I'm seeing it before I buy it. It's not like I'm going in there buying a 3-pack and only know what one rack of ribs looks like.
Yeah,
I know what every rack of ribs looks like, every brisket, every pork butt.
There ain't nothing more frustrating than that, my friend.
Yeah, that's a waste of money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. All right, so, Mick, are you done for the year? Any more contests, or is this it?
No, I'm actually be down in Cummins, Georgia at the National Barbecue Cup. That'll probably be the last one for the year, I guess. And I hope to, November the 1st, if I can make sure the work schedule works, hopefully I can get into that Lakeland Pig Fest.
Yes, sir. We'd love to have you down here in Lakeland, my friend.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do, and hopefully I can, you know, we've all got barbecue connections across the country, and hopefully I can find somebody down there with a with a gravity feed smoker I can bar, so I don't have to haul my rig down there. I just come in the car with my rubs and my meats.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a guy that's now sponsoring a new gravity fed cooker company, we may be able to help you out there, my friend.
All right, brother. Well, I'll let you know sooner. The sooner the time comes, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we're gonna try to make that one down there. At least I am. My brother-in-law, he's got a real job, so he probably won't be able to make it.
Well, man, it's a good time if you come in. Try to be into Lakeland about Thursday, about 5 or 6 o'clock.
Because
we're gonna welcome all of our out of town friends and do a good low country boil and a potluck on Thursday night like we did this year. I mean that's what it's all about, man. I love getting all you out of town guys here on our home turf and showing you a little bit of hospitality and just getting to catch up with y'all face to face, man. That's my favorite time of year, man. Those 3 days.
Yeah, that's a good time of year. I worked down there I lived down there for about 4 months, and it was from January to, I guess, April or whatnot, and the weather's perfect down there that time of year. So that's another reason I've been kind of eyeballing that competition.
Absolutely. No, it's nice. I mean, it's cool, but not nearly as damn cool as y'all got.
No, absolutely not. It'll be snowing up here, and it'll be, you know, in the 70s. I can remember I was riding my motorcycle down there when I was down there, and it was freezing up here, so.
Absolutely, brother.
Big difference.
Absolutely. Well, Mick, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, my friend. Been a blast. Is there anything you want to plug on the way out?
You know, like I said, gswinery.com. They not only is my company, but they sponsor me. That's the only reason I'm able to do all this. And you know, you can follow me on Twitter, RubOneOutBBQ, or look me up on Facebook. I'm always putting up pictures or where I'm going to be and such like that. If y'all want to check that out.
Man, that's awesome. Mick, thanks so much. It won't be the last time you're in the pit. I can guarantee that, my friend. And we look forward to seeing you down here in Lakeland in January.
Yeah, man, look forward to it.
All right, Mick, take care. Have a good evening.
Bye, brother. You too.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, guys. Mick Chesser, Rub One Out Barbecue. Real quick, I want to hit two sponsors before we go over to Barry Johnson, Grand Champion, Swiggin' Pig. I want to talk about Danny Kugel's online class. PitBullsBarbecueSchool.com. Been looking at Danny's stuff now over the last 6 to 8 weeks. Love it. He helped us a lot with our chicken, helped us a lot with our brisket, you know, even just small tweaks. Obviously, one of the top 5 pork cooks in KCBS and a good rib cook. Pretty minimal fee to get on there over at PitBullsBarbecueSchool.com. And join that school. You've got the videos there at all times. You've got the recipes there at all times. You've got the cook schedules. You've got the what do I need to get prepared for a contest. You've got all that stuff right over there at PitBullsBarbecueSchool.com. So go check that out. Danny and Rebecca will take great care of you. I know they're getting new students every week, and they're going out and they're placing and paying for that school within the first 1 or 2 contests that they cook. So go check that out. The other one I want to talk about is the barbecuesuperstore.com. So Mark Rasmussen and Richard Parker, great guys, carrying top of the line products. I was just looking, maybe I was getting ready to make my order for a contest coming up. And I just went over there and looked at the rubs that they have. 3M, Butchers, Cosmos, Mitch Meat, or Meat Mitch, Plowboys, Simply Marvelous, Smoking Guns, The Rub Company, Bubba Q, Simmer and Docks, new one, Mad Hunky Meats, Oak Ridge Barbecue, Rub Smoked and Sauced, Smoky Oaky, Steve's, and the Slabs. That's just in rubs. The thing that they're trying to do over there at the barbecuesuperstore.com is they're trying to be that one-stop shop. If you need some Blues Hog, some Head Country, if you need some rub, you know, whatever you need, they want to be that one-stop shop. You can go get everything you need for a contest. It's going to show up in your door in one box. And you're going to be ready to go. You take that box, you put it in the trailer, you put it in your truck, boom, you're out of town. Go over there and check those guys out, man. Mark and Richard, they've been part of the show for a long time, even earlier when it was Barbecue Supply. It's where we get everything from. And just enjoy working with those guys. So go check out the barbecue www.wrestlingobserver.com. With that being said, I'm going to go pull up this guy that I think he came in second at a kind of big contest this weekend. Barry Johnson.
What's up, Chad?
What's going on, brother?
Man, hanging in there. That's about all I can say.
Dude, has it all kind of came back down yet? Or are you still a little bit amped up?
Well, we're still a little amped up, but it's slowly getting back to normal.
Brother, so, you know, been not too long since we had you on, but always good to have you back on. Real quick, kind of before we go into the weekend, do you mind reminding the audience of kind of what you cook on and what your setup is?
We cook on a Backwoods competitor. We've done that since day one. Unfortunately, it's nearing the end of its lifespan, and we figured that thing's probably got 10,000 hours on it.
Wow.
It's starting to see some wear in places. It's got a lot of beauty marks on it, but the thing's still working. So
you know, obviously, and I remember from the first time we had you on, I mean, it's kind of you and your family. I mean, it's a pretty tight team, correct, Barry?
It is. It's I'd say 98% of the time it's my dad and myself that travel. If you know. We've got a 5-year-old daughter that if we're close enough where they can run in a day and back, they always come. And my mom's involved. If there's a dessert to be made, she's there to do that. So the long trips is usually just me and dad and anything semi-local. Yeah, we've got everybody involved.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. And I know from the results you've given us, your mom puts up a pretty damn good dessert, doesn't she?
Well, absolutely. And we're actually, and I forgot about that and hadn't posted anything about it on Facebook, but we had a second place 180 dessert jack last week.
Well, so. Barry, I'm not going to say I didn't know that and I just threw it up there, but I was trying to help you stay good with mama, my friend. All right.
I think she's probably listening.
And hey, we could always have a little help with that, right? We all get busy, and you know what? When we got good mamas, we take them for granted sometimes and forget about them, and we just got to let them know we love them. And if they're turning out 180 second place desserts, we really love them.
And her head gets big though, Chad.
Ah, come on, Barry. It's all right. She can be rule the roost for a bit or two.
Well, I'd say 4 180s in 6 months time. She's got a little roast swell.
Good Lord, same recipe?
Actually, that's three different things. So
what?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, hey, I'm gonna come up and see y'all and just hang out with Mama for a week.
Yeah, you guys wonder why I'm as big as I am.
Good Lord, that woman's a cook now. I mean, because usually, like, I mean, I remember, you know, my friend Danielle Demoski, Diva Q. I mean, I've, you know, she's won a lot of 180s in dessert, but she's got this one awesome dessert recipe. But for your mom to go out there with three different recipes and get four 180s, that's just a woman that knows how to cook. That's a good Southern woman right there. Your dad had an eye for him, Barry.
She's a good Southern cook, you know, and I think probably some of the things that differentiate what she does from a lot of other people, you know, she takes the time to scratch made pie crust and roll them out by hand and things like that, and people just don't do that anymore.
No,
I wouldn't do it. So
it's just too much work.
And I think that makes a difference.
No, absolutely, especially when, I mean, you talk about that lard in the crust and that just the way it's folded in. It's just a, you know, Barry, we're always fighting to try to layer our flavors. That's exactly what she's doing. She's just doing it in dessert.
That's right.
You know, her crust is different than all those others, and that's just another layer of her deal. So, speaking of that, the other thing I want you to remind us of, and Barry, you said it on the show, And I will let you retract it if you want to.
Okay.
But the last time you were on, you said you do not inject butts or brisket.
And yes, and I still don't.
So, you still don't?
Still don't.
But you did say you're still using high-quality butts and brisket.
We are.
But you're not going to say who they are until they pay you, right?
That's pretty much the way it is.
I was just making sure nothing had changed from the last time me and you were...
Nothing changed there.
Okay. But you know what? That to me, because I've had two or three more discussions with really good cooks that have said, you were that shocked by it? And I said, yeah, I was. Because, Barry, when you show up at a contest, you're usually in the top five. And to not inject your two big meats, that's just, to me, a guy that's not been around as long as you, not had the success that you've had, that was just mind-blowing to me. But I guess if you're starting with really high-quality stuff that has good internal marbling, gets good flavor throughout the meat through the natural cooking process, has a good rub, has a good sauce, you're okay. It's still nice and moist. It still gives you the mouthfeel you want, right?
And it's... You know, I don't have any problems not doing it.
Well, you know, the other thing I think, too, is, if these guys are tasting, you hit the table, there's six entries, and these guys are tasting things that go, that seems artificial, and then it's not comparative judging, let's not say it is, but at the end of the day, we're all human nature. People are going to compare one to two, three to four, et cetera. And they go, man, that just has a very, you know, natural, solid taste to it. That may work to your advantage more than not against all the other teams that are out there putting something into it.
Well, it seems to, and you know, I kind of stand by what I say. I'm not good enough to get the same amount of injection in the same spot. You know, if you're talking about inserting 3 milliliters per square inch. On a brisket,
I'm out.
There's just no way, and then it becomes hard to duplicate.
Yeah,
and that's my problem. I'm not smart enough to duplicate it, you know, and I have to do something that I can duplicate every week.
Well, and that's the one thing I took away from the last time I had you on the show personally as a cook was you said. Specifically, I keep it simple so that I can duplicate it. And, you know, if I make a tweak, I make it and I know it. But I keep it all simple so that I can replicate it every week. And I think, guys, for y'all out there listening, whether you're a veteran cook, you know, a new cook, a middle-of-the-road cook, what Barry's saying there with that is God's honest. And Barry, did I misstate you there? That's exactly what you
no,
said.
No, absolutely. That's exactly what I said. And you know, it's all that, and it comes back. And, you know, we've been lucky because the things we do have hit. And I might be preaching a different tune if I was 30th every week. I might be trying something different. But it's always worked to a certain extent. It's worked better the last couple of years, but I don't think it has anything to do with whether I inject or not. I think I'm a better cook than I was 2 years ago.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you should. If you spend 2 years doing any hobby with any kind of seriousness, you should be better now than you were 2 years ago. I mean, that just makes sense. So, no, that is but you know what? It's just relieving to hear a guy that, you know, just went reserve at the Jack, you know, and obviously you have a ton of accolades this year, and, you know, not only this year, but over the last couple of years, that, you know, it just makes it refreshing to hear somebody say, I'm just keeping it simple, but I'm making it something that I can execute on point every time.
That's right. And I think that's important. You know, I keep saying to you, if you give them a big dose of the same stuff, that eventually somebody's going to like it.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You know, obviously an awesome weekend for you. How many times have you cooked the Jack previous to this?
This is our second time. This is our second time.
So last year when I saw you at the draw, that was the first time you had been drawn for it.
First time in, we qualified twice previously and had not been drawn. And last year was our first year to get drawn.
Well, and I'll tell y'all what, guys. Y'all can say, and Barry is, he's a cool, calm, collected Southern man. But boy, when he heard that name called, he was a little giddy. He was a little happy last year. I remember sitting right in front of him. He was a little giddy, strolled off to the side, and went outside and started making some phone calls. I don't know if he was booking hotels or what he was doing, but he was real happy to be there, and I can't blame him.
I think I knocked a bottle of water over, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you did, but you made it seem pretty cool when you did it, Barry.
Well,
you know, but you know, and that's another cool thing too. Just being there, and I think did you go back this year to watch the draw, Barry?
We did. That's kind of an annual thing for us. We, you know, you drive down. Of course, it's we can be down there, go to the draw, and be home in 3 hours. So
yeah,
that's not a huge deal. We drive down, have lunch, go to the draw, and I'm back home in time to pick up my daughter from school. So it's not a big deal at all. So it's a good day to get away from everything.
Well, you know what, and Debbie and her group do such a good job of making it, you know, it makes it worthwhile to go watch. I mean, I'm glad I went and did it, because it's something you can talk about, and it's just something that, you know, I enjoyed, honestly, to meet some other cook teams and just to be there to see, you know, everybody get their bung pulled out. It was really cool.
It makes you very popular that day. You know, you're better off to leave the phone at home.
Man, I picked up a ton of Facebook friends that day. So, and we still got it. Hey, since you're local and you know Debbie, just set it up with her, Barry, next year. I'll fly up and let's just do the radio show live from the Jack.
We can certainly talk to her about it.
Hey, I mean, dude, now you're an RGC of the Jack. I mean, you got a little more clout going into next year. Let's just could you imagine how many listens we would get to people listening into the draw? It would be unreal. I'll tell you what. I'll contact Debbie as long as you'll give me an endorsement and say, not a bad guy. He's going to take care of you. He's just trying to help us all out here. Deal?
I'd be happy to.
All right, man. Good deal. So last year, you know, you go out there, it's your first time. You know, how did that go for you? What was your finish, Barry?
Without me looking it up, I think we were 18th last year. Maybe worse. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I don't know why 18th sticks in my mind, but I really don't know, to be honest with you.
But that's not bad either in that group of cooks.
Well, you know, it wasn't. We had a good day down there. We won Sauce our first year. We won the Happiest Home in the Hollow our first year. We got a fork call, and so we left out of there with a little bit of cash, and we had a great time. And so no, for a first time experience, Jack, it was awesome.
And so do you feel being that close to home? Is it more comforting, or is it a little more pressure?
I think it's a lot more pressure. It's a lot more pressure on me.
Because you probably had a good chunk of people coming by checking on you. You know, I mean, you know, wanting to come by, hang out. Am I right or wrong there?
Oh no, we're absolutely right. And you know, we had 17 or 18, I guess, Thursday night for dinner, and probably 12 or 13 Friday night, and just, you know, people in and out all day on Saturday, and luckily we had a setup where I could kind of keep people out away from where I was.
Yeah.
But there's just absolutely no getting around the distraction.
All right, and so did you – you know, because you're kind of a local guy, I say quote unquote, I mean, not a lot of people really local to Lynchburg. Do you? I would say your weekend looks a little bit different. You're probably not doing Mary Bobo's, or it's not as big of an event to you, would you say?
You know, we took in a lot of things. I've been to Mary Bobo's 4 or 5 times, and you know, just be down there for lunch or whatever. We used to go when we went to the draw, though, we'd go to lunch there.
Yeah.
And do that and all that. And that's a fun time. And I'll say this, the first time you go to Jackson, you do everything there is to do and then some, you know.
Yep.
And spend some time and go up on the hill and do all that. And we took a little different approach to it this year, and it really paid off for us.
Would you say this year, Barry, you treated it more like any other contest you usually cook?
Without trying to sound cocky out of sorts, I went down there with the intention of winning the jacket this year.
Yep. No.
That's what I had on my mind, and when all the stuff comes about, I said that I had 2 college buddies down helping me last weekend, and I told them, please go to the hill, please have a good time. I'm going inside to get my shit together. I went in. I didn't do anything about barbecue. I tell you what, I went in the trailer, sat down on the couch, and watched the rerun of Burn Notice while they were in there. it just got away from everything.
Right. You just kind of got your mind right and just kind of just chilled out and just, yeah, I can understand that. And I would say that's probably the right thing to do the second or third time you're going to the Jack. Because, you know, and I agree with you, and I will tell you what, Barry, we ever get drawn, we will probably go dead ass last in the contest. Because we're going to go and we're going to experience it all. But like you got all that out of your system last year and still placed well. But then this year you come back with kind of this focus of, all right, hey, we've been here, we got the T-shirt, we'll get another T-shirt, that's fine. But we're going to really focus on trying to make this thing happen. And that's what's cool to me is that you had that type of focus and you saw the improvement in results. You know, hey, Barry, we probably wouldn't have you on the show tonight. I won't lie to you. If you'd have went from 18th last year to 36th this year, you probably wouldn't be on the show to say, hey, Chad, I got more laser focused. Well, not really.
Right.
The judges didn't think
that's right.
But it seemed to have worked out for you. Now, would you, you know, so let's talk about the cook. I mean, did everything come off the cooker like you wanted it to? So you thought all 4 categories were strong? We got something.
I honestly thought it was the 4 best I turned in all year.
Really?
I looked at Dad when it was over, when we sent brisket in, and I looked at Dad and I said, "We've done all we can do here today," and I really meant that.
So. And obviously you had. I mean, to finish 2nd in that crowd is huge. So when you go to awards and you heard your name a couple of times, you know, what were you thinking? When you know, because here's the thing, it could be just as deflating is you heard your name a couple times, but you heard Pigskins 4 times. You know, did you know, kind of like me, Barry, that when somebody 4 calls the Jack, they probably won it?
Oh, there wasn't any doubt. There wasn't any doubt. I don't think in anybody's mind they would want it.
So at that time, you're looking at your dad, you're looking at the family, and you're going, we're playing for 2nd?
You know, I thought immediately when we didn't get a rip call, we were playing for a minimum of 2nd.
Yeah.
I didn't have any expectation when they got to 2nd. And, you know, they wound up calling the top 10 at the end. And when they got to reserve, I still didn't know. I mean, after I watched the guy in the regional Sam's event get 2 first places and finish 14th.
Yeah.
You know, there's no telling. I'm sitting there with the 2nd and the 9th and don't know, you know, where the two are, and so I really had no expectation that my name was called.
No, that's a great point about the Sam's Club deal. I didn't think about that until you just said it. That's a tough pill to swallow. Two firsts and not move on.
Well, I think he had two firsts and a 180 was one of those firsts and finished 14th. So.
And what did you feel like, honestly, going into turn-ins? What did you feel like your best category was?
I really thought the ribs were probably the best, and they wound up being the worst of the. That's the way it always goes.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been real fortunate over the last 3 or 4 years with ribs, and I've turned in 5 sets of 180 ribs the last 3 years, and those were right there with them, if not maybe even better than some of the ones we turned in that scored that high.
And I'm going to pull this out of you again. I know you said it once, but you cooking St. Louis or Bats?
St. Louis.
And are those any kind of special St. Louis, like a Duroc or a Berkshire? Don't answer to either one, but just something besides what you get off of a Sam's Club or Costco or something shelf.
They are, yes.
Okay, that's fine. Now, man, I need to have an offline conversation with you. because my thing is, and I'll bring it out now, Barry, is if I'm cooking a Duroc or a Berkshire, they just come off the hog too damn small. They're not big ribs. You must have a connection if you're cooking something, and I don't want to pull it out of you here, and this is kind of me and you talking with a lot of people listening.
Right.
But I'm sorry, bro. I've tried the Berkshire and the Duroc's, St. Louis and Bax, and they just come off too small for me. I don't want to look like I'm putting toothpicks with some meat in there on them. So obviously you've got something figured out that I don't, and God bless you for it. All right. So what did all this goes down. You win Reserve Grand Champion. What does Saturday night look like? I mean, you've got you've got local friends, local family. I mean, did you at least live it up, my friend?
For about 45 minutes.
What happened?
And I hit the wall, man. I was so tired. I said my celebration consisted of, I was so tired we didn't even go get anything to eat. We cooked a frozen pizza in the toaster oven, and I went to bed.
So, in the toaster oven. God love that, my friend.
So, you know, it was like we're in there scrambling in the refrigerator looking for something to eat. It's either frozen pizza or barbecue, and I elected the frozen pizza.
Absolutely.
So my celebration dinner and celebration lasted about 45 minutes.
Oh, that is too funny, Barry. Too funny. So, are you done with the year, or do you got another contest or two in you?
We're definitely going to do the Mopolis. I don't know if we'll pick one up between now and then or not. I kind of doubt it. I think the Mopolis will probably wrap it up for us.
Now, tell me a little bit about that contest. I've heard a lot about it, never cooked it. Good contest, the Mopolis?
It's a good contest. Unfortunately, I think the Earth does some kind of rotation and shifts and does something, because by the time you get into central Alabama down there, it's like 4 miles from the North Pole.
Cold as hell, huh?
Man, oh man. I think there's some kind of rotational shift that goes on down there that weekend that makes it so cold, because it's right on the river like a friend there said, that if you look up that river, it's a straight line to the North Pole.
Now, let me ask you this. Is there any chance we're going to see you in Lakeland next year?
No chance I'll be in Lakeland.
No chance.
No chance. I have I've about done all the mileage I can do for 1 year.
All right. So when do you think your season will get cranked back up in 2013?
We'll probably start in Pensacola.
Okay.
At the end of March we'll do our southern run before we go down Pensacola, Mobile, then Hammond and Slidell in Louisiana, and then back here for Winchester next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like then, based on our schedule next year, Pensacola will be the first time I shake your hand, my friend. Because my wife's sister goes to school up there at University of West Florida, and she has been on me like white on rice to come up there and cook a contest in Pensacola. And she says, all of us softball girls will clean up, and she plays softball up there. All of us will clean up and do whatever you need. I'm like, right, y'all just want to eat. I know. Hey, I was a college kid. I know what it's like. You just want free food. And I think, Barry, what I'm about to do is get all the work out of them and then feed them. I can't feed them between turn-ins. I got to kind of stockpile it all and then say, all right, y'all get everything cleaned up, and then y'all can eat. And then
that's absolutely the way you do it.
And then I think it'll work out that way. We'll see.
You can't let them start drinking either. You never get nothing done either.
No. You let college kids start drinking, you ain't going to get nothing accomplished. I can promise you that, my friend. All right, so last question of the night, because
sure.
I know I've had two of them asked in chat. When is the Swig and Pig competition barbecue class?
I don't know the answer to that.
Don't tell me that's not the first time you've heard it asked.
It's not the first time I've heard it asked today. So, exactly.
We've
given it some thought, and I don't know. We've certainly got some positive input on doing something like that, which makes me feel really good. To be honest with you, I hadn't given it much thought. I kind of shake it off every time somebody says something about it.
Well, Barry, let me talk to you as a businessman by nature myself. 25 people want to show up somewhere near your home that you rent for $1,000, and they want to pay you $500 a head, and that's cheap rate. Well, that's about $12,500. You're out maybe $2,500 just doing the weekend, getting it set up, securing the venue. Hey, there ain't many contests you're going to go to in one weekend and put 10 grand in your pocket, my friend.
No.
And now don't get me wrong. I realize you're trying to protect what you do, and you're not going to teach a class that isn't exactly what you do because, you know, you're just a good Southern gentleman and a man of your word. So that's
my thing about that is I'm afraid when I have the class that people are going to walk away going, are you shitting me? This is it? This is what I paid for?
That's
my thoughts about the whole thing.
But you know what, Barry? I think there's going to be half of them may walk away thinking that. The other half are going to go, man, I should have listened. I've been overcomplicating life. I need to settle down, focus on cooking it right, and making sure when I put it in the box, it tastes right. If it needs a little bit of this, you know what I'm saying? I think it's going to make people get back to the basics of what competition barbecue should be. And that is that it tastes well and it's cooked even better than that, you know?
Well, the whole thing, I've said 100 times that I think you could go to Kroger and buy Emerald's rib rub and finish the Kraft barbecue sauce and it's cooked right, you're going to do fine.
Absolutely. It's got to be right. That tenderness has to be there. If it's not there, it's going to be a long day. Well, Barry, once again, we ran up right towards the end of time. And, brother, I love having you on.
Thanks, anytime.
Absolutely, Barry. Thank you so much. Is there anybody you want to thank on the way out? Sponsors, friends, family, anybody?
All my family and all my friends have helped make this happen for me. Couldn't do it without.
Awesome, brother. Well, I can't wait to get into Pensacola next year. and shake your hand, my friend.
We'll see you in March.
All right, man. All right, guys. Barry Johnson Swiggin, or Swiggin Pig Barbecue, RGC. We cut it off there right towards the end. And love y'all. Appreciate y'all listening. And until next Tuesday, keep the pit lit.